Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
And this is episode 58.
Wow, 58.
It was a good year.
It was a good year. Which one? Us being 58 or 1958?
1958. It was the year after 1957, which was an even better year.
I was a year old then.
Yeah, me too.
Hmm.
Anyway.
I don't remember much about that.
Me either.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about today?
We are going to talk about technology and relationships. And a new term we heard.
Yes.
Techno-incompatibility.
That's interesting.
It is interesting.
Yes. We've touched on technology before, but we are going to be bringing things to you occasionally on this because it definitely is a current topic of interest to couples.
And this article, we're going to look at two articles, but the first one I'm going to talk about here is out of Psychology Today, and it was written by Jesse Fox, PhD, and it was actually from 1958.
I know, sorry.
Yeah, it was actually from 2013, and the key point she talks about here is about couples who are techno-incompatible, meaning they have different values, perceptions, or behaviors about the appropriate use of communication technology, and then overusing that technology in the presence of a partner, and how that can send a message that they're not valuable enough, or not valuable enough to pay attention to, or the most effective, and how to effectively combat techno incompatibility. To discuss it with your partner.
Yeah, I found this was so interesting when we were reviewing this article that it was from 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So over 10 years ago. And I mean, our involvement and connection to technology, especially going through the time when we were all at home a lot, has, I mean, exponentially multiplied since 2013. So this is very interesting that what is in this article is still very pertinent today.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, she says that technology is supposed to make our lives easier, which obviously it is, and it started out that way. But it often brings complications as well, especially to our romantic relationships. When a couple is techno-incompatible, which, I hadn't heard about that term. They have different values, perceptions, or behaviors about the appropriate use of communication technology, which she talks about when she throws out this communication technology. It's not just cell phones. So she's talking about cell phones, tablets, computer, I mean, any kind of thing like that. For example, a couple may disagree on whether it's appropriate to call or text to discuss a relationship issue, or they may have different ideas about what's appropriate to share about the relationship, or if you have kids, about kids on Facebook or other social medias, and then how tension or conflict may arise because of these differences in expectations and practices.
Yeah, and I think that's very interesting about setting boundaries about what is okay to post on social media. And I mean, when this was written, Facebook was the primary means of social media, but now Instagram, TikTok. I think there's some other ones that I'm not familiar with, but there's other ones coming around, and there's all different kinds of platforms.
Oh my gosh. I know, I know talking to some of the teenagers at church for our youth group, and, you know, I talk about Facebook and they just kind of look at you funny because nobody does that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like texting a lot of times. None of them text. So
they're not texting.
Well, no, they are texting. It's something else they're not doing.
They're not emailing,
but they are texting. Oh yes, they do text. So she talks about why modern technologies are problematic. As relationships develop, we share time in mutually enjoyable pursuits. Media use can be one of those shared hobbies, And then she talks about a common ritual for couples a lot of times is to find a TV show or a movie and watch it while other couples connect in virtual worlds, playing video games together, etc. But how mobile phones and tablets are typically highly individualized compared to traditional media, using your cell phone is more like reading some, I mean, it's a solitary activity. You're doing it by yourself, not with somebody else. I mean, it'd be kind of, I mean, sometimes we'll watch a Facebook funny video or something like that together with one of us holding a cell phone, but we're not gonna sit there for an hour or even 15 minutes or so watching something.
Right. Most of the time you're on your phone by yourself scrolling.
Yep.
But that's interesting, yeah, because traditionally I would think of dinner and a movie. I would not think of dinner and gaming, but I guess that's because we're old. We're not into gaming.
Yeah. Well, I know young couples that get on that's how they don't go home and watch a movie or interact. They play video games.
They game. They games. Yeah.
So they each have their own headphones and, you know, all this stuff, and they game, with other people.
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So, and she talks about that checking your phone, sending a quick text might seem like a mindless activity that barely detracts from your conversation. But while doing that, you can be sending nonverbal messages to your potential or your partner that their time is not valuable or special or interesting. It's almost like you're putting them on hold. So.
Oh, I didn't think about that, putting it on hold.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had that communication sometime where you'll come to get me for something and I'm in the middle. Usually it's a work text because I'm on call at night. I'm on call on Saturday mornings. And so I'll be texting. I'll be like, let me finish this text.
But, well, because a lot of times, I mean, you'll have when you're on call or whatever in the evening, we'll be dinner and you'll have your cell phone out checking. But it's because you're expecting.
It's because you
have to. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what she tells a story about a couple that go out for dinner, and she doesn't say if they're married or not. But
I think it was a first date.
Yeah, but she puts her cell phone out on the table, and he takes that as permission to get his cell phone out, and you know, he gets a couple texts and stuff from his friends. So he's sitting there texting friends, and then his friend posts some on Facebook. So he's getting on Facebook, and what he didn't realize was that she had to have it out in case there was something at work that she needed to be involved in. But again, as we've talked about before, communication is key. They never talked about it.
Right. And so, then the story goes that she just kept getting more irritated because the date went on, and instead of him interacting with her, he was interacting with his cell phone.
Until the meal came.
Yeah.
And probably even...
Well, he kept texting even when the food came.
Mm-hmm.
So she was... If I was her, I would have been really ticked.
Yep. So anyway, the author suggests establishing relational rules. The most effective way to combat techno-incompatibility is to discuss the issue with your partner and establish mutual rules for using technology, whether you're newly dating or securely entrenched in your relationship. I never thought about being securely entrenched in our relationship.
We're in it together, baby.
So her guidelines are to discuss when it's acceptable to use the cell phone when you're together. Make a list of your common shared activities, eating at home, going to a restaurant, driving in the car, watching TV on the couch, watching the kids, laying in bed in the morning or the evenings. So do you find it acceptable to be on the phone at any of these times, all of these times? Is it healthy or productive for your relationship if you use the phone at all these times? Interesting. And if you disagree, determine an acceptable compromise.
Well, that's what I thought this next one about communicating your rules to others. I thought this was great. It says, if your mother has a habit of continuing to call you until you pick up, make sure she is aware that you and your partner have agreed on interruption-free time and to let her know when that is. And, you know, and same with friends, they may just have to wait for you to respond to their text or pick up. And I know sometimes people get upset with me because I don't answer texts right away. And sometimes I don't even get my phone out of my purse when I get home because I really want to be disconnected. I want to focus on you. I mean, sometimes we have our phones, usually when I'm on call, then I end up having my phone at the table when we're eating dinner. And we'll be talking about something and one of us will look up mm-hmm. something. Like we'll look for a website or look up a definition or maybe...
The weather comes up
the frequently. The weather, yes. We look at our weather apps to discuss the weather. But that's something mm-hmm. we mutually decide on mm-hmm. while we're having right. dinner that we want that piece of information while we're talking.
Although I don't know why we look at the weather app because typically it's not, shall we say, accurate? Anyway,
that's a
whole other podcast. And then communicate special circumstances that may necessitate phone access, like you being on call to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, if there is an issue that an emergency might right. come up or certain things,
or like if you're out on a date and you have kids and your kids are with a sitter,
yep.
you know, that's they had a good suggestion in the article, and it's something that I actually do. For our family, I have separate ringtones mm-hmm. for all of the family members other than my general ringtone. So I know when I hear those ringtones, it's you, it's our daughter, it's our son-in-law. And so I know to answer those because they might be an important call. Mm-hmm. But everything else could just, you know, ring to voicemail. And so that's what the author of the article was suggesting that you even, like, if you're going to be out on a date, that you set a specific ringtone mm-hmm. for your sitter. So that if you hear that ringtone, then you know mm-hmm. you need to pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah. Unfortunately for me at work, that wouldn't really work because I can't hear any of the ringtones. Because of all the noise. Unless I'm sitting right at my desk, mm-hmm. I would hear it. But other than that, out in the shops, I wouldn't hear it. So.
But it would work. Well, I don't think your phone privacy matters so much when you're at work. This is talking about when we're out on a date.
Well, that's true.
You could do it for when we're out on a date.
I could do it when we're out on a date. That's true.
Plus, your ringtone scares people, so it's probably
a
good idea.
Yeah, that's true. It does have a tendency to do that.
It's a very loud ringtone.
It is loud. It's unique.
It is unique. So anyway, looks like we're at the end of this article. What mm-hmm. else did it have to say?
If you're unhappy, let your partner know. And see, that's something you need to work on. You need to let me know when you're not happy. Okay, maybe not so much.
It's probably more like you need to let me know when you're unhappy. I don't have any problem communicating that.
No. So if you're unhappy, you know, communicate. So if you're unhappy, let your partner know. Don't be like that couple that was sitting in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, make sure you communicate. And then if your partner asks you to put your phone down, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And don't say in a minute and then 5 minutes later you're still texting somebody
right.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yep. Take it as a compliment if they want to spend time with you.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. Anyway.
Yeah, those are some great tips on that.
Yep.
So then we found another study that's a little newer. This was in an issue of Health and Wellness.
I think this is 2019.
This is 2019, yes.
2019, I'm
yes.
sorry.
Yes, and so this at this point in time, it's the tagline on the article was New Study Shows Impact of Technology on Relationships.
And they're talking about similar stuff.
Mm-hmm. The writer on this one is Julian Reese. And this was actually from Utah State University. This is their health and wellness blog that they do at Utah State University. This article outlines that David Schramm, who was a Utah State University assistant professor and extension family life specialist, has a particular interest in studying how technology interferes with two of the most important spaces for interaction and connection, in the bed and at the table. We mm-hmm. were just talking yeah. about, you know, things around the table. And the article goes on to say that Schramm, who is also known as USU relationship specialist Dr. Dave, said it's inevitable that technology will creep into nearly every aspect of our lives. But because of this, he's on a mission to safeguard these two most important areas that must be protected to help strengthen couple and also parent-child relationships.
Parent-child,
he does this from the perspective of parent and child as well. And he believes that these two places, the bedroom and the table, should be considered off limits when it comes to technology use. So now he used the term technoference.
Mm-hmm.
And he defined that as the way technology use interferes with face-to-face interactions with others. And so how he did this was he actually just conducted a survey of people. He surveyed 631 parents across the United States between the ages of 21 and 60 and asked several questions related to their technology use. And as a part of the survey, he created two initiatives. The one is KTOOB, K-T-O-O-B, which stands for Kick Technology Out of Beds. And the other one is KTOOT, K-T-O-O-T, which is Kick Technology Off of Tables. And so these initiatives that he developed, this KTOOB and KTOOT, are meant to strengthen relationships between couples and between parents and children. When he did this survey, 75% of those surveyed said that they thought that the KTOOB, Kick Technology Out of Beds, was a good idea, and 88% of those surveyed believe that KTOOT, Kick Technology Off Tables, is a good idea. So it seemed like a lot of people, that's a pretty high percentage, 75 and 88. Especially if you know anything about research, that's a high percentage. He went on to put out some more of his survey findings. Those were 88% agree that technoference is a big problem in society, with 62% of those surveyed agreeing that it is the partner's use of technology in bed that interferes with their I know we keep this G-rated, with their intimate relationship. Mm-hmm. You all can figure that out. He also got this result in the survey, that 55% feel like their spouse or partner spends too much of their time on their cell phones. And 48% of those who responded wish their significant other would spend less time on their cell phone and more time with their children. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. One parent saw cell phone usage by the other parent as interfering with quality time with the children.
Mm-hmm. I thought this next one was interesting.
Oh, yeah. 53% believe they personally are on their cell phone too much. So that's just looking at your own
personal use. Yeah.
They 53% of the people surveyed thought they were too on their cell phone too much. I think I'm on my cell phone too much. I'm constantly.
I know I am.
While 59% believe their spouse or partner is on it too much. Additionally, 6 out of 10 adults are concerned about the influence technology has on their relationship with their children, and nearly 1 out of 4 wish that they had more information about technology and parenting but don't know where to turn. 38% of adults admit to using technology at least occasionally while eating at home with family members, and this only drops slightly to 35% who report using technology while eating at a restaurant with their spouse or partner at least occasionally. So what the results of the survey overall showed, that the higher levels of technology use and technoference adds up to significantly less time spent together as a couple, less satisfaction and connection, and higher levels of depression and anxiety, mm-hmm. he found with other questions in the survey. This article was published right before the holidays, and he was asked what his advice would be for the upcoming holidays, and his Dr. Dave's response was, talk more, use your phone less, and be where you are. Mm-hmm. And I thought and so this was 2019. So again, this was published before we were in that period of time where we were at home all the time, and our technology use even really exponentially increased mm-hmm. after that. And those survey percentages are high.
They're
on those
really
questions.
High.
Of people think on that techno, what he technoference,
yeah,
how it affected relationships.
Be interesting to see if I'll have to look and see if there's any newer studies out.
Yes, so
about
we're
that just to yeah, see what how much
there has to be. We yeah. just didn't find them yet, so we're going to look on that for the next time we do a technology spot. But really, go back and listen to this one again. Listen to those percentages, and I particularly like in the article that you reviewed, to go through the times that you are spending with your spouse, mm-hmm. or even if you have children, with your children or together as a family, and set right out those different occasions, bedtime in the morning, eating breakfast, whatever, bedtime at night, and work with your spouse or your partner if you're dating and getting ready to get married. This would be great to determine before you get married, because mm-hmm. then it's not an issue.
Yeah.
What acceptable use of technology is in those situations, and what, if any, exceptions there are to it. And try to stick to that. See what it does.
I mean, who would have ever thought about you would want to find out if you were compatible with technology? You were techno compatible.
I know.
That's just crazy.
That's crazy.
That is crazy stuff. So, well, I know, and I mean, like with cell phones, I mean, being involved with our youth group, I mean, All the kids have phones. Mm-hmm. I mean, at one time there was one or two that didn't, but I think now pretty much everybody has phones.
Yeah.
All the kids. You know,
so the crazy. High school kids anyway.
The high school kids, yeah. Even so, a lot of the middle school kids
do.
Yeah,
they do too. So. All right. Well, we hope that this has been helpful. So until we talk to you next time, we pray that your marriage and relationships will be richly blessed.
God bless. Bye now.
Bye.